Welcome to Ian Timothy's Thoughts. Before we can control our lives, we need to learn to think clearly and become in control of our thoughts. To understand how we think and who we are, there is a need to become central to our lives. Athletes exercise and train to become fit and competitive. Clear thinkers exercise their minds to become open-minded, flexible in opinion, free from bias. Success and happiness is key to our lives. Emotional, intellectual, material, and creative security are the objectives of selfness. Objective reasoning is how we exercise the mind. My work is a lens which can change its focus to isolate independence, critical thinking, confidence, and security. It is easy to see the confusing landscape of differing ideas, ideals, and opinions. It is more difficult and more interesting to adjust the focus to the foreground, getting a closer and clearer picture of our personal environments. The symbol of my life is a word. It is selfness. The philosophy of selfness is about kindness, happiness, self-security, self-confidence, and open-mindedness. All of the elements of my work, WordPress, short stories, essays, recordings, and videos, are related to my philosophy of selfness. If one wants to think clearly, you begin with the self. Welcome to today's episode. Today I'm talking to Darren Stanton, and the subject is about poison pen letters, hate mail, and the occasional attack on social media. The recording was made on the 8th of December 2016 at the Holiday Inn in Nottingham. Thanks for listening. Today I'm talking to Darren Stanton during a conference break at the Holiday Inn in Nottingham. Darren's been talking about deception and lie detection to a group of private individuals who run their own businesses. And from talking to some of those this afternoon, they were very impressed with what they heard. So I know you're only short on time, Darren. I know you've got about half an hour.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thanks for talking to me. Darren, just to let the listener know about the progress since our last podcast, you're enjoying some well-deserved success, I see, at the moment. Recording of a TV series is in the can. And you tell me there's another prestigious contract about to be signed. This is a really incredible sequence of events. I know that it follows a really specific and well-planned promotional campaign. How do you feel that things are going for you at the moment, bearing in mind what I've just said?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I appreciate your comments, Ian. I've just finished filming Judge Rinder's Crime Stories. We've just shot 10 episodes of that up in Manchester at Media City, and that's going to be transmitted, I think it's May or June of next year. The second thing you mentioned, I can't actually publicly announce that yet, but I'm very, very excited, and it is literally going to be the biggest thing that I've done to date.
You're heading for a major seminar in London in May 2017, Darren?
Yeah, it's actually March the 19th in London, Kensington. The venue is still to be set, but that's in conjunction with NLP Life Talks and a very nice guy called Bernard Moyer.
If you remember when we did our last interview earlier in the year at the Contemporary, we were talking about criticism and we spoke about vindictive attack, namely that you'd had been subject to one or two over the years.
Sure.
And it's interesting that both of us have received quite a few derogatory comments in the last few days. You on social media and me via poison pen letters. Can you give me a bit of an insight into why would somebody actually want to do this in the first place?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a hilarious week, really. Yeah, I got a number of very sort of vile messages on Facebook from a certain person. I appreciate that I'm not going to be everyone's sort of cup of tea, as you're not, as the next person isn't. So, you know, being in the public eye, put yourself up there on social media as an author or presenter, whatever, I appreciate that, you know, not everyone's going to like you. People saying, I think you could have done that better, or I didn't agree with what you said, that's absolutely fine. But I think the nature and the level of depth that these people have gone to, and I think the intention is purely just to hurt.
Could you give me a timeline from when you left the police force and then you embarked upon your career with media connection you had from police interviews to lie detecting, etc. Sure. And it's become a monumentally impressive success story. But you started like a fisherman to actually attract a few undesirable fish on the hook.
There was one person in particular that was sending me lots of messages and ringing up and being particularly vile. And again, this was somebody that was a massive underachiever, had the potential to do great things, but it's just a great shame that this person decided to rather than pursue his positive attributes, was to turn it into a very negative way of going on. So it was a great shame for that person. So from then, I've accepted that along the way, you know, this is part of what we do. If you put yourself out there to be visible, then there are certain individuals that aren't going to like you.
I mean, I have little concern for the situation. It's more, a little more than a blade of grass in a prairie to me, Darren. You've known me for many years, and you know my integrity and strong constitution. I've got many friends and few enemies, so are obviously welcome to adjust the balance. You know, there are people who really do get hurt very badly by these type of people. Is there any way that they should initially approach it? The first time they receive something that's vindictive, or they get something on Facebook which they don't like, or they get an email that's cruel, sure, or a poison pen letter, what's the first thing you'd do?
Well, what I will do now, having been quite experienced at getting these things, is traditionally just count to 10 before you do anything, because the instinctive response is to get angry, or, you know, to sort of get on the phone or to draft a response and to fire something back. And in my opinion, you know, that's not really going to achieve anything or do anything. Although you may feel better in the short term, trust me, it's not the best response. Screenshot those messages, or, you know, get a recording of that voicemail or whatever it is. And just for the purposes of an audit trail, just keep it and accept the fact that, you know, you are genuinely better than this, and you are on a much higher level.
Rule one: get all the information.
Yeah.
Take the screenshots, get a timeline of what's happened and what's being said. Then force yourself not to retaliate. In other words, they fired the tennis ball into your side of the court, yeah, and you've put your racket down and the ball's not going to be returned.
Absolutely.
With some individuals, won't the silence agitate them even more?
They're stood there with their racket ready to serve the ball, and the ball's not coming. Some people, you know, will escalate, but bear in mind, you've done nothing. You know, you can demonstrate you've done nothing. So if this person then escalates things or does something else, again, same process. Go back, record the information, keep an audit trail, because, you know, you never know how far this person potentially may escalate. And we all know that, you know, there are the small percentage of individuals where you may even need to go to the police in the future. So by keeping that continuity of evidence, you can always refer back to it. Now, the good thing about this is that that other person won't have anything to respond with, because you've not responded, you see. You've not been on social media. Please try not to respond to these people, because you have to think five moves ahead. Always be thinking, if this turned out to be the most negative situation I could imagine, What would I do? And it's always about protecting yourself and being resilient. I think essentially what we need to bear in mind is the fact that people are by and large creatures of habit. You know, they're creatures of habitual behaviour. So you won't be the first person that's received this sort of treatment or behaviour. You know, this is very much a pattern. And as I say in my book, you know, anything we do for 21 days becomes a pattern of behaviour. So the other interesting thing about this is why, you know, why should they suddenly target you? And I think for most people, what they tend to do is, and we all do it to an extent, is we benchmark ourselves amongst people around us or even people that we don't even know. So we will benchmark them in terms of, you know, what they drive or where they live or how they dress or how they speak or are they in their living. And, you know, I think everyone does this to a large extent. And most people would embrace the fact that if they saw somebody that they perceived to be very successful and they had access to them, you know, if I had that kind of access to somebody, I'd be very curious to find out how they think and, you know, what they do in certain situations. So I could model that and get, and I have done this, you know, and gained some similar success. But for the very small minority of people, you know, they see your success as just purely good luck. You know, you've not worked for it. It's just something you've stumbled upon, and their attitude is, well, why should you have it and I not?
How or what can a person do to strengthen their inner being when they are under the word is attack from a vindictive individual?
I think the first thing to do is, you know, I'm not making too light of the situation, because even though, you know, I'm a very resilient person, as you are, Ian, it still takes you, you know, a little bit of time just to kind of get over the fact, especially if the comments are particularly personal or, you know, vile and very, very sometimes strange. You know, it's bizarre to receive a text like this or a message out of the blue. So I think, again, I've already covered the fact that don't respond, no matter how tempting it is. The next thing you need to think about is the comments they've made, do you believe them to be true? All right? So you say to yourself, you know, am I a whatever? And the natural response is, well, no, you're not. You're not a bad person. You're not this person that this person is trying to say you are.
What is the breaking point? What takes somebody from the threshold of intelligence into making nonsensical moves? Why do people go through that threshold psychologically of overwhelming common sense and exposing themselves to the utmost long-term personal danger?
That's a very good question, Ian, and I think, you know, going back to this person that I had a problem with about 5 or 6 years ago, this person was incredibly articulate, incredibly intelligent. You know, to hear him speak, you'd probably think he was aristocracy. You know, he could speak to anybody and charm anybody as well. And at the end of this process, when I was able to get it all sorted, I asked him a question and I said, why? Just why? You know, what was at the heart of all this? And he said to me, his reply was, I was sat at home one night and I saw you on the television and I just couldn't help myself. And I think that comment sums it all up, is the fact that hate and bigotry and small-mindedness, it transcends intelligence, wealth, ethnicity, you know, all these things that divide us and make us the person that we are. When it comes down to it, jealousy, envy and hate, you know, it transcends all of that. And I think that comment's always stuck with me, is the fact that, you know, some people just can't help themselves, and that sense of jealousy and envy at what you've got and what they haven't just overwhelms them.
Thank you for your time, Darren. The insight that you've given into your own personal difficulties, not the right word, but it's the only one I can think of at the moment with regard to those who have a very malicious and vindictive nature. I believe them truly to be jealous. That's my fuel motivation for people is jealousy. But we've got a lot of information there for people to follow through with. I'll put a full link to your website And I would also draw anybody's attention who listens to this who has problems. Darren's taken the time to record 20 or so self-help recordings, MP3s that are downloadable off the website. Now, one thing I've got to ask you, you've priced them so reasonably when other people would be selling these at $50, $60, $70. What on earth is the motivation to allow people to buy those MP3s so reasonably?
And my passion has always been about empowering other people. So I didn't want to price them too high because I want everyone to be able to make changes. So no matter where you are in the world, no matter what your budget is, you know, they're only a few pounds, or I think it works out as sort of $5 if you're in America. So, you know, they're very reasonably priced because I just want everyone listening to be in a position where you can have access to these resources.
Yeah, but hang on a minute, Dee. These are full-blown, these aren't just short snippets. These are full-blown life changers, mind changers. There's a big gift you're giving here. You know, let's see, I want to expand a little bit more on your psychological behind it.
I mean, you know, the real truth is here that I'm doing very well. So I don't, you know, I'm not doing it for the money. I've just put a nominal cost on there. You know, and that's the real reason. I just want people to have access to my knowledge.
And that sums up the man. So thanks, Darren, and back to the conference.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Darren says it's all about protecting oneself and being resilient. And I comment, don't respond to ignorance. Clear the mind. Use rational thought on all occasions during one's life. This is the key to selfness. Thank you for listening.